Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Opioid deaths fueled by fentanyl are on the rise in California. The state dashboard shows a roughly 25% increase from 2020 to 2021. But drug overdoses jumped to 45% that same period when isolated just to the synthetic opioid fentanyl, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. The trajectory is truly staggering when looking back the past several years. In Sacramento County, there were 57 opioid-related deaths back in 2019. In 2021, just 2 years later, that number rose to 174. That's a more than threefold increase. And this is increasingly impacting young adults and children. The most recent data from the state reports fentanyl deaths jumped 625% statewide among 10 to 19-year-olds. And often they're unaware that they are taking fentanyl. I go back to one of the first conversations I had as host of Insight last year with a parent who lost their 22-year-old son from fentanyl poisoning, self-medicating, but unknowingly taking a pill that was laced with fentanyl. In response, the California Department of Public Health offers free naloxone to schools to reverse an opioid overdose. And Sacramento City Unified is one of the districts stocking this life-saving medication across all campuses. Victoria Flores heads the Student Support and Health Services at Sac City Unified and joins us now. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, this may be new for a lot of people. What is naloxone and how does it differ from Narcan? Are these interchangeable words?
They're interchangeable words. So naloxone is the type of medication, and Narcan is just the brand name. And that's the name of the naloxone that we were able to get for free through the state.
What exactly does it do?
So it blocks those opioids from impacting your health system. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor, but, when you are having an overdose, it starts to shut down your breathing, you know, and that's where you end up losing people. And so that Narcan or naloxone blocks that from happening and is pretty instantaneous in reviving individuals.
And this is in addition to other resources or that you have available on campus for allergic reactions and things like that as a tool in prevention in the event that someone is in a life-threatening situation.
Correct. Schools stock a number of these kinds of, you know, medications or equipment. We have EpiPens to stop an allergic reaction, oftentimes when individuals don't know they have that allergy. AED machines to restart hearts if we, you know, anyone on our campus goes down. And so now we are adding this naloxone or Narcan right there to that same kit. So our staff know to go right to that source, and that's where all of those life-saving, you know, equipment or medications are held.
You know, this is one of several conversations we've had on Insight regarding fentanyl in the last year and a half. And unfortunately, this is continuing to be a growing problem. These conversations and really the responses that we're talking about have been growing in even recent years, even before the pandemic. Given that your focus is student support and health, what have you been seeing with Sac City students in recent years?
You know, we know the pandemic has just had such a huge impact on our students, right? And being home, coming back to school, everyone coping with that stress and the trauma, the loss that's happened for so many of us. And so we knew we would predict, you know, that we'd see more depression, anxiety, you know, nervousness about coming back to school. And with that, individuals really trying to figure out how to cope, right? And sometimes we do healthy things for coping, and sometimes we do unhealthy things for coping. And so, you know, this is one of those things that we've sort of seen across the board, and just a way that we're really trying to make sure we can save lives, notice, you know, when someone on our campus is struggling with these kinds of issues and link them to support and services, you know, really just inspiring that there is hope and there is healing.
Yeah, I mean, you really have this front row seat to these challenges, from learning loss to mental health to a lack of connection. And, you know, you explain that in some cases that may turn a student or a child to off-market prescription pills. How do they have access to this, from your understanding? Yep.
From our understanding, we are, and it's very easy to access these pills, particularly through social media. So if your child has any kind of social media account or a cell phone, which most of us do, I mean, these are lovely at keeping us connected, you know, to our friends and social systems. The downside is that we can also access things, you know, that we really shouldn't. And so we really want to encourage all of our community, only take prescription medication that was prescribed by a doctor and picked up at a pharmacy. You know, this is where we're seeing, you know, kids thinking that they're buying something legit through social media, and it's not, and it does contain fentanyl.
Yeah, I mean, this also raises that the culture surrounding prescription medication is different compared to recreational drugs. And we've had this conversation on Insight. There's more acceptance of taking a prescription, which can open one up to abusing that prescription and turning to purchasing counterfeits, even on social media, as you say. How does that specifically impact youth?
You know, I mean, I think this is one thing that youth, you know, sometimes look for. They think, to much to your point, well, I'm not using drugs, it's a prescription, except that it's really not. And so that's where, you know, I think our youth really just need to have some education, understand what's happening and what's being marketed, you know, kind of to them. And then understanding, you know, how to talk about it. There's so much stigma around mental health or even substance abuse that we really want to lift that, be able to talk about these concerns, talk about, you know, if our students are starting to use, and get them linked to treatment.
Is it often the case that they may be looking for one kind of prescription and then unknowingly it's laced with fentanyl?
Correct. Yes. So we've heard of things, you know, when you do the research on this, things like, you know, Adderall, or you're looking for some kind of anti-anxiety medication, ADHD type medication. And these are not real pills, but they look exactly the same. The DEA, you know, there's lots of good information out there on how they look and how they differ, and the different types of, you know, emojis that might be used to market. So this is really just about educating, you know, ourselves as adults in our community, as well as our young people.
I know that this is a preventative measure, stocking Narcan and Naloxone on all campuses, but have there been instances of drug overdoses on school grounds in recent years?
You know, not that we are aware of. We did have one, you know, incident last year where an individual was taken, you know, to the hospital, and we understood later that treatment was provided. And we always want to protect, you know, student confidentiality. We've had parents come forward. We've learned of other, you know, students struggling this. So as we've learned about this, we knew this was an action that we really needed to take. We've seen this nationally, locally here in our state, and now in our county. And by bringing Narcan to our campuses, we want to be able to save a life, right? That is really, you know, our ultimate goal when our children are in our care, or any community member on our campus. We also want to help educate and bring awareness to our community.
And this was rolled out in your district about a week ago. What has the response been like?
You know, the response, I think, has been pretty good. You know, We like we say, we do this every year with EpiPens and AED. So it's just sort of adding that other layer on. You know, we've been heartened that people are, you know, open and welcome to having this on campus. They know, you know, that this has been a concern. You know, opioid use cuts across our whole community. Many of us maybe are personally have some knowledge of someone who's struggled with this. So I think it's something that really hits home for a lot of people.
This comes at a time when the California Department of Public Health has issued a new warning about a new trend called rainbow fentanyl that's circulating around. And these are brightly colored pills that the DEA believes are meant to target young people. How is the district responding? What do you want families to know about rainbow fentanyl?
Yeah, we want them to be aware that this is something that's happening in their community. And really what we asked our families in that communication that we sent out is to talk to their student. And we gave some tips and a handout, you know, just to start that conversation, whether it's in the car, you know, on the way to or from school, or maybe taking a walk, is to know that this is going on. Talk to their student about rainbow fentanyl, about how dangerous it is, and what to do if they're ever in that kind of situation where someone's trying to maybe get them to take something they're unsure about. You know, having those sort of code words or those outs, that's really what we would like to do. We'll also be bringing awareness to our campuses. There's many community-based organizations that do this kind of education, and we are looking to partner with them as well.
Yeah, it kind of looks like candy.
It does. Yes. Yes. And we understand, you know, it's in chalk form and all of these other different types of forms.
Yeah, we're going to have a broader conversation about this in just a few moments. But on the topic of being proactive, what types of health education is offered at Sac City Unified to educate students about the dangers of fentanyl and other substances?
Yeah, so, we have Red Ribbon Week that talks about, drug and tobacco education that's coming up here soon, and, different kinds of education, throughout our district. But this is a specific type of education we really want to bring to all of our campuses across the board, because this is such a, kind of a newer, really dangerous trend in our community. And so that's what we'll be looking at doing this year.
What are the challenges logistically to rolling out this type of really specific health education across all campuses? You have more than 40,000 students in the district.
We do, in about 76 schools. And so, we really want to start at those, our high schools, middle schools, really where we, see the most social media use and have that highest risk. But all the way down, bringing that education down, much like we do with social emotional learning, right? This starts young, and just being aware of our own boundaries, how to, manage that and respond to those difficult situations.
As the Executive Director of Student Support and Health, what other challenges are you focusing on?
In this rollout?
Yeah, because I would imagine often, as we touched upon in the very beginning, it's interconnected. So, what are your concerns and your priorities for students as, we're still very much still grappling with the sacrifices that were made during the pandemic?
Yes. Health and well-being of our students just cuts across the whole board, right? Physical health is so related with our mental health, really just making sure that our students are okay, that they know what to do if they're not feeling okay, whether it's themselves or a friend, how to get help, right? And to know those safe people on campus. It's really important that all of our students feel connected and safe on campus, whether that's, someone who's a social worker like myself or a school nurse, all the way to, some of our other support staff. It's really about knowing that you can talk to a trusted adult and get help, link that student to help. We have a lot of supports on our campuses right now. That was one of the responses we did in the pandemic, was to increase our support staff that are available on campus. And so we just want to be there, to be that safe place to land and to help them, again, find that hope and that healing moving forward.
Finally, where do adults, parents, guardians, teachers, staff, mentors, where do they fit into this conversation? What advice do you have to approach this topic to youth?
Yeah, I think just starting to talk about it, even saying, hey, I heard this program today on public radio talking about rainbow fentanyl. What have you heard? Right. And just opening that door with our young people, sharing our concerns. Right. This sounds really scary to me, as an adult. That's not something I had to deal with. How does that feel to you? And just opening that door to that conversation, doing it in a non-threatening way. Oftentimes our young people will talk to us a lot when we're riding in the car because we're not necessarily face to face, or maybe walking. That's really our hope for every adult in our community. Start that conversation.
Victoria, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us and for doing this story.
Victoria Flores heads the Student Support and Health Services at Sacramento City Unified about stocking naloxone, also known as Narcan, to reverse drug overdoses in response to a rise in opioid deaths fueled by fentanyl. Up next, we're going to talk to a journalist who took a statewide look at how substance abuse is taught to students, if at all, and found that this type of health education can vary greatly from one school to the next. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.